You are listening to New England Public Radio News. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is the shortlist, NEPR's Week in Review. Joining us today in studio, Carrie Saldo, host of WGBY's Connecting Point, and on the line, Matt Safransky, editor of Western Mass Politics and Insight. Matt, Carrie, it's great to have you along for the first shortlist of the new year.
Yeah, great to be here.
Happy New Year.
We start in New Hampshire, where sports gambling became legal this week. For now, wagers will be taken online, with retail locations scheduled to open later this year. Lawmakers in Massachusetts and Connecticut are likely to consider something similar in the upcoming year. Carrie, will having New Hampshire and Rhode Island already accepting sports bets hasten the approval process in Massachusetts and Connecticut?
Well, State Senator Eric Lesser has said this past week that he's going to take his time. They're going to continue to look at this issue as they have been throughout this 2019-2020 legislative session. And there's some interesting local connection here with a group called Fair Play Massachusetts. Ryan McCollum, who's a local political consultant, but also the spokesperson for this group, really hopes that Massachusetts will take a slightly different tack than New Hampshire and allow for local establishments to offer up this sports betting. Say any place you'd walk into that has Keno might also then have sports betting.
Well, Matt, in a similar vein, the operators of the MGM Springfield Casino have said they want to open a sports book pretty quickly. Do you foresee Massachusetts legislature actually doing anything about this before the session ends in July?
Well, I certainly hope so. I mean, I think that, you know, we run into the trap of, you know, trying to reinvent the wheel every time we're trying to do something that the other New England states have done. I mean, obviously, if there's some concerns or if there's some innovation that they want to do, such as, you know, what Carrie mentioned that Fair Play wants, we should certainly consider that. But the bigger concern is that it just takes forever to write a piece of legislation when there may be something off the shelf that they can tweak just a little bit to get it going.
Moving along, there's many city councilors and mayors being sworn into new terms this time of year, and that's certainly the case in Springfield, where Monday, Mayor Dominic Sarno and the city council will take their respective oaths. The mayor and council have been at odds over several issues in recent years, and when asked about the rocky relationship, Sarno said he bases his decisions on what he called good government.
I look forward to continuing to work with the city council, because successes can all be celebrated together.
Now, Matt, do you buy Sarno's spin? And with some new faces on the council this year, do you see this dynamic changing at all?
Well, I mean, not to be too cynical, I mean, they do cooperate from time to time. It's not like it's entirely at loggerheads. What has tended to be the bigger issue is that the council has decided, which is their right, over the last, you know, 5 to 10 years, to really start being a legislature and not just, you know, a permit granting authority. There are some older former councilors who thought that was principally their prerogative, and I think that's where a lot of the friction is coming in. They want to set policy, and the mayor is under the impression that that's really his job. So there will be some coordination, I'm sure. But I also expect that, you know, I don't expect the council to roll over anytime soon.
Now, Carrie, you interviewed the council's president recently, Justin Hurst. What did you gather from that conversation?
Well, President Hurst said that he is willing to work with Mayor Sarno, and he is hopeful that they can find, you know, some areas of collaboration. One bright point we could maybe point to is the fact that Talia G came in as the chief diversity officer, and that position was something that Mayor Sarno initially opposed. Councilors wanted. After some back and forth, they ended up with the position. But, you know, you've also got to look at the fact that they're clashing on a number of items, including refugee resettlement. City councilors voted unanimously to continue this practice here in Springfield. Mayor Sarno has said he's not going for it.
There are also new mayors who are taking office around Western Massachusetts. Roxanne Weidegartner has already done so in Greenfield as their new mayor. And John View will become mayor of Chicopee on Monday, along with Don Humison in Westfield. Carrie, all three of these new mayors have plenty of political experience. Do you think that'll help them in their new roles?
I think it absolutely can, right? And I think when you have people who've come from something that is closer to a grassroots organization like the city council, who are dealing with constituents on an almost daily basis, or a school committee, or any of those other local boards and commissions, where you're likely to get that phone call, hey, my street's not plowed, there's a problem here. I think that's great. The bigger challenge, I think, when you go from that localized perspective to a mayor, you have to be able to shift to that big picture perspective. And so we'll have to wait and see if folks are able to widen that aperture and make that positional shift.
Matt, is there going to be one of these new mayors that might have a more challenging road ahead of them than the others?
Well, I think one of the more interesting ones will be to Senator Humison in particular, because he's moving from a, you know, very independent legislative body, you know, not like city councils, which are somewhat subordinate to the mayors or town managers, as the case may be, and to being the person who's making all of the decisions and the person who makes the decisions. And so it'll be interesting to see how he moves into that type of role. I think he'll probably have a fair amount of support. I mean, Humison was definitely on the more conservative side as a state senator goes, and I don't expect it to be too much different as mayor, but you just don't deal with those same ideological issues. And he's going to have a lot of, you know, people that are very experienced in Westfield politics, I think, to lean on if he needs to.
And there's also, of course, going to be a ton of elections in Massachusetts this year, with the presidential race on down to state legislative contests. And one state Senate seat will be up for grabs twice in 2020. Of course, Matt, you bring up Don Humison. There'll be a special election to fill his state Senate seat. And now, of course, there'll also have to be a general election in November, too. So this seat's going to be up for grabs twice. Matt, is there a better way to do this?
Well, you know, I mean, I'm personally of the opinion that special elections aren't bad. I mean, in some states, they like have somebody appointed to fill these seats. I'm not a huge fan of that. I mean, yes, the elections do cost money. And yes, there is some question as to when it's worth it or not. You may recall that 2 years ago when, you know, Senator Rosenberg, you know, resigned, you know, in May of the election year, there was no special election, and there does have to be a cutoff point for some of those situations. But I think, you know, the important thing is to give people a chance to weigh in on who their next representative is going to be. And, you know, if it costs a little bit of money, I mean, I don't necessarily think that's a huge price to pay for democracy.
And Kerry, that scenario could play out as State Representative John Velas of Westfield is already a declared candidate for that state Senate seat should he get elected. Probably looking at an empty seat or an open seat there until November. What do you think about all of this?
Yeah, it's just very complicated. I know it's going to be a very busy time for all of us, just personally, reporters-wise. Yep. But I think there's also an opportunity here for incumbents because it's a presidential year, right? So that's going to garner a lot of attention, bring a lot more people, perhaps, than usual to the voters' booth. But that also could be a challenge because if there's all of this focus on the presidential and people are very focused on national elections, they need to remember, hey, things are happening locally, too.
All right, Kerry Saldo of WGBY's Connecting Point and Matt Szafranski with Western Mass Politics and Insight. Thanks so much for joining us today.
You're welcome.
Have a great weekend.
And thank you for being with us for the shortlist and EPR's Week in Review. You can also listen to us whenever you'd like at Apple Podcasts or by going to nepr.net/podcast hub. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is New England Public Radio.